What's the podcast code for May 23rd, 2015?
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, yeah. It is Saturday. Hallelujah. My feet are on the ground in Cleveland, Ohio. It is time for Ask the Podcast Coach, where we answer your podcast questions live. The only live call-in show dedicated to the lovely world of how to podcast. I am your smiling host, your personal podcast coach, your friendly neighborhood podcast consultant, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. And joining me right over there, a whole lot of nobody. That's right. I'm flying solo today. Jim is on assignment. Something came up. I don't know what it was. He was nice enough to give me a couple days. And everybody that I wanted, that I thought of that I would normally pull to, is in Chicago. Podcast Midwest is going on. And I'm trying to figure out on the video. Okay, I'm getting a reflection of the lights in my glasses. I'm like, what is that? And so I said, I haven't flown solo in a very, very long time. Where you get to be my co-host. I went out this morning and gathered up a bunch of questions in the event nobody feels like calling in and chatting with Dave. I'm like, we can fly solo. Haven't done it in a while. I was going to go and he said, this is the only thing. It's I have to drive and steer at the same time. There we go. Was looking for different things we could talk about, and there's such a ton. And let's tackle the first one here, and that is, of course, hey, Spotify is now in podcasting is now in Spotify. That's the good news. The bad news is, I'll be damned if I can find it. I don't know about you guys. I pull up my phone. I pull up Spotify. I'm in Spotify. I was listening to Crocus this morning. I'm not making that up. Yeah, there you go. An old 80s hair band. And so I go into, the whole thing, and I cannot find podcasting anywhere in Spotify. In fact, if I close the app, I'm excited about it. Here's the thing. I'm in Spotify. The School of Podcasting is in Spotify. I've working with Libsyn, was able to be in there, which was exciting. Would love to see my name in Spotify. I would take a screenshot. So if anybody is a Spotify, I've heard you're supposed to be able to go to settings, which I've heard is at the very bottom of the screen. Now, I even upgraded to premium today, thinking I could find it. You go into settings and you're supposed to be able to say, give me the new Spotify experience. I don't have that option. Downloaded. So it's in there somewhere. That's what they keep telling me. Or maybe it isn't happening yet, but I've had somebody say, that you can see them. So if you have found podcasting in Spotify, please call in. Again, that number is 347-850. There we go. 8007. That is 347-850-8007. And we have open phone lines today. So that's the good news that is in. And so people are like, well, what does that mean? Is it a good thing? Well, of course it's a good thing. I will be honest with you. I barely glanced at the agreement when they sent it over to me that I have to sign, which I'm sure is going to say they're going to put ads up against my stuff. For me, I don't care. Different people have different business plans, I guess you could say. And if you're just doing it just for fun, you could probably care less. Because I know Spotify has to run ads. This is very much the Spreaker thing. Not Spreaker. Whoa, let me back way up on that. The Stitcher thing. Stitcher needed people to promote Stitcher so they could run ads against your stuff to pay for the bills. And apparently not enough people signed up, and that's why they got sold. And I haven't really heard a whole lot from the Stitcher camp. I know it's owned by that other company now, but it should be interesting to see. So I'm happy that we have another platform, and you know, there are, it just shows the legitimacy of podcasting and the fact that people believe it will bring audiences to their product. The big question is, do you want to bring your audience to their product? Are you hoping that you bring their audience, which is in the millions? I want to say it was like 70 million active users, something like that on Spotify. So I'm happy to have, you know, if you get, and this is where you have to be realistic about your topic. And that is, if, you know, I do a podcast about podcasting, I have to be realistic and go, not everybody wants to start a podcast. And those that do, you know, that's great. But I'm never going to have, I shouldn't say never, but the day that I have 10,000 downloads an episode is because everybody's podcasting. But the fun part is, the more people start podcasting, the more people start teaching people how to podcast. I am amazed at the amount of things that are popping up. There was a two or three different podcast groups in Facebook that are like, hey, come talk podcasting with us. And I'm like, cool. I'm okay. And then I find out later they have a course. And I'm like, oh, so I'm basically coming in to bring my audience to your product. When I'm kind of like, you know, your product is a lot like mine. So that's always kind of interesting. So if you have found Spotify, or if you found podcasting in Spotify, definitely call in. Again, that number is 347-850-8007. If you're new to the show, you can find us always, except the week I wasn't here because my website was down. That should be done, by the way. I have moved Ask the Podcast Coach onto its own server. It's no longer shared on anything. The I'm moving many of my websites off. I've so that should not be a problem. I understand you guys couldn't log in the week I was here when I was at the North Canton WordCamp down there. So here's some stuff I found from Rob Walsh, who is the vice president of Libsyn. He says, we'll be talking about Spotify on future episodes of The Feed, which you can find over at blog.libsyn.com. And we will be able to start adding the Spotify destination for more shows. So in my account, I can go in and say, add this episode to Spotify. Yeah. Yep. Stargate Pioneer saying it is a limited beta. Yeah, that's why I was very excited to be part of that. At this point, maybe I can end up being a big fish in a small pond. In the meantime, if you want your show added when we can add more shows, please email rob@libsyn.com. And also email if you have any questions about Libsyn and how destinations work. The other destination that they added is SoundCloud. Yay! So if you're a SoundCloud user, I think I mentioned this last week, but I did a recent test again. And the SoundCloud platform with zero promotion from me brings me in a whopping 1% of my audience. Spreaker, on the other hand, brings in 22. So if you're looking for some place where people are consuming audio, I would highly recommend Spreaker over SoundCloud. SoundCloud, the other thing that's interesting about SoundCloud, I've had people email me that said, would I like my numbers up? Because I can buy listens. I can buy listens at SoundCloud. This is what musicians do to get their music up the charts. You just hire a bunch of people, I don't know, overseas that make pennies a day to click play on your stuff. It's not going to get you an audience. It'll get you up the charts. I get it, but it's like, really? So that's kind of interesting. For Libsyn users, Rob says you will have a new Spotify stats module where your Spotify stats will be. Shocking that the Spotify stats will be in the Spotify module. This will be in addition to your normal Libsyn stats for all other destinations, which sounds kind of like I got to check my stats in two places, which is kind of a bummer. But it is exciting. And the other thing is going to be to see now, will Pandora follow suit? Right? Because now Spotify, and the other thing Spotify is doing, if you haven't seen the video, go over to Spotify.com. They have a cool thing now where you can put your phone on and start running, and it looks at how fast you're running and finds music to match that. Now, I am not a runner. I've got the body to prove it. But I thought that's a pretty cool use of technology. Although most of the time when I hear like workout music, it usually is, and I'm like, okay, that's not my, I want to listen to some Crocus while I'm running. So, if you want to call in, oh, this is so scary. My iPad has 4% left on it. And, if I leave this thing plugged in while I play it, it sounds horrible. But the number is 347-850-8007. We will talk about anything. 347-850-8007. I thought about doing an episode like that. Ask me anything. Podcasting related or not podcasting related. I have a great weekend. The next 2 days are going to be fun but sad for me. And that is because, of course, my wife is in North Carolina. Down there visiting her stepdaughter. And you guys want to hear what this sounds like? Here's a fun one. When you plug, for me at least, when I plug in the iPad, listen to what it does to the audio. If you guys can hear that. Nice little hum thing. So I'm muting it while I'm not playing jingles here. But feel free to call in. The other thing that came up, Glenn Beck is speaking at Podcast Movement. I'm really, 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 and I'm by that, I mean really excited about Podcast Movement. Why? Because I'm not working it. I get to go there and be an attendee. And after being the director of the New Media Expo, where I really didn't get to do a lot of the stuff I wanted to do, I'm really, really pumped to go to Podcast Movement. And Glenn Beck is speaking there. And here's the thing I don't get. I've had people saying, I'm going to miss the entire event because you brought that guy. And there's two lessons we can learn from this, I think. Number one, some people are just idiots. I'm going to bite off my face to, you know, what? It's ridiculous. And the other one is, okay, well, we'll come back to that. We have a phone call. Let me use this over on the Mac. Ending in 5193. You're on with me. I was going to say Dave and Jim. Jim's not here. You're on the air with me. What's your name and what's your question? Ending in 5193. You're on with me. What's your name and what's your question? I love live. Seriously, you're not on hold anymore. Ending in 5193. You're the only caller on the line at this point. And if you say something, there it is. Yes, you are on the air. You're probably, what you're doing is you're watching the video.
Okay, so I'm the only one.
That's it. You're on the air, buddy. So.
All righty. Well, actually, I was just checking out the podcast and seeing what kind of content you got going on.
Well,
I understand what the what it's supposed to be about. Checking it out.
Yeah, I've been podcasting since 2005. I run a website called schoolofpodcasting.com, and I do this show to connect with my audience, to understand what their pains and concerns are, to basically get a cool opinion from my audience. Do you have a podcast?
Not as of yet.
Awesome. Are you thinking of starting one?
Yeah, possibly.
Awesome. What's any hurdles currently holding you back, or are you just thinking about it at this point?
Hurdles. No, I can't quite identify any hurdles because I'm not actually quite focused on that right now.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks for calling in. And, you know, if you have a question or something comes up, feel free to give us a call back. We're here every Saturday. Askthepodcastcoach.com/live.
All right.
There we go. that's it. There's actually a really cool book, he said. I highly recommend it. If you haven't read it, there's a lot of stuff in here that doesn't pertain to us, but it's Beyond Powerful Radio by Valerie Geller. Great. And there's a whole section in here on live And one of the things is you have to recognize when to hit the dump button on the listener. And as soon as that guy was like, all right, how do I politely get out of this? And then you also have people that won't get off the phone. Like, they'll make their point, and then they'll go to make their point again. And you got to go, yeah, okay, we've heard that. You know. And in the end, we don't know why he was calling in. And my guess is I think Mike Dell hit it on the head. The chat room was asking, why did that guy call in? they're saying, we have a question. Who is that guy? Why is he on the phone? Yeah, I think he's probably a Blog Talk listener, a Blog Talk Radio person. I don't get a lot of listens over at Blog Talk Radio. That's another one. Again, I don't promote it, but if you're thinking you're going to get a lot of listeners on that platform, I get next to none, like single digits downloads over there. So anyway, Glenn Beck, I understand that the guy's politics, he's, you know, he's very political. What if you don't like Spotify or not? What if you don't like Serial and you go, oh, they're having Sarah Koenig do the final thing. I'm not coming because I hate that podcast. I don't. But on the other hand, though, think about Glenn Beck. Think about Glenn Beck. Guy is like polarizing, right? He has a stand. He stays for it. He states his mind. He kind of has apparently some sort of research going on to back up his claims. But the one thing he is not, is he's not Melba Toast. Glenn Gleck. Yes. Good old Glenn Gleck. Glenn Beck does his thing. And you either love him or you hate him. And so at this point, that's something I think we should learn from. We got a couple callers coming in here, ending in 7825. You're on with me. You're on Ask the Podcast Coach. What's your name and what's your question?
This is Michael Ray. How you doing, Dave?
What's going on, my man?
Well, you know, I just kind of heard that Glenn Beck was coming to that podcast deal down in Dallas.
Yes.
You actually had a friend that does the Red podcast.
Yes.
You know? And I've been listening to him, and I'm pretty sure that he's probably not politically aligned with me, but he doesn't bring it out, and he has a lot of interesting stuff, you know, a lot of stuff, and just, you know, and I don't understand why people, you know, just all of a sudden just hate somebody because of a name, you know. So, but
yeah, it was interesting.
It's where, you know, I really like listening to that Red podcast. It's pretty good. It's got a lot of good stuff on it, you know. And I think you two have been friends for a while, I guess, or something, you know.
Yeah, David Hooper. He also does.
Yeah, David Hooper. Yeah,
yeah. He does a show called Music, you know, Radio Creative, and man, probably 10 years ago, I drove down to Nashville to be on his actual radio show. Got to go into the old studio, surrounded by Electro Voice RE20s everywhere, and it was a good time.
Yeah, and he does a pretty good job, and it's nice and good audio, and there's no cussing, you know, and
right.
And because I listen to him, he has his wife on there, Laurel, you know, and so she'll say something, and you just hear him chuckle, you know, because he knows it, you know, he just knows, but. Anyways, I had a question. You tweeted out something about, I guess, radio phone lines. I forgot what it was now. Forgive me for my dummy. But you said something about something wasn't catching on. I think it was like the Blaze Radio Network, you can actually call a phone number and you can get the show. But it's either compressed or something really bad because it's really hard on my ears. I can't hardly take it, but I have to, you know me, when I drive a truck, there's some places I don't have, right. I don't have any signal, so I do the phone thing, you know?
Right.
But it really, they must compress it or something, because it just kind of hurts my ears sometimes, so I just didn't know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, it's not a new concept. I was surprised that somebody was bringing it back, and that is, you dial a phone number, hit a number, and you can listen to a podcast. It's just like a streaming radio over the phone, and you know, phone lines, anything that goes over a phone line is going to have the upper end, like the upper sibilances, you know, the treble part is going to be majorly cut off and the bass is cut off. That's why everybody kind of sounds like this when they're going through a phone. So, and the article was saying this isn't really catching on. And I was like, well, duh, you know, it's kind of like, of course it's not catching on. Nobody wants to listen to that anymore. So I just thought it was funny that people were still trying it.
what I do when I do listen to it is I actually take a T-shirt, I put it on the left speaker of the semi, and I put a T-shirt over it, and that kind of muffles that high. Then I have to turn it up some, but at least I kind of I can take it a little more that way, you know?
Yep.
So,
yeah, but,
and another thing I want to just want to put this out to the audience out there, you know, I have the ADHDthinktank.com, and we talked last time about getting like an elevator speech kind of
yes,
get it where I can condense stuff. So basically, my podcast, when I get it rolling, is going to help veterans with ADHD. It's going to help them to get jobs and kind of like one of my best podcasts I listen to is that Roundtable, and that's why I like this show here, because it's kind of live. People throw ideas out there and this and that. So mine is going to kind of be something like a little round table where veterans kind of get around together, and you say, hey, I'm a painter. I got an idea on how you can do social media. Hey, this painter guy, he can be on your show, and that could be – and it kind of grows the podcasting. It kind of grows the whole thing. So if there's anybody out there in your audience that knows maybe like an elevator speech, I can come up with something clever, you know, I don't know what it would be, that I can kind of get into like a clamor thing, like a 17-second, you know?
Yeah, my question would be, A, are there veterans out there who need help getting jobs? Are there veterans with ADHD?
Yeah, there is. I think there's more of the veterans that want to start their own business type thing. You know, I see it a lot out there. ADHD part, I'm not sure. But that's why I did the ADHD think tank for veterans and families. That way it can kind of go either way. So eventually I can make it move one way or I can make it move another way.
Okay. You
know, but I know there's ADHD out there all over the place. And the thing about it is I'm a veteran. So when I went to the VA to say, hey, you know, what kind of program you got here, like a chat or something, because there's only two places in Nebraska, way up out west in the Panhandle, and in Omaha that have a CHAD chapter, and anybody in 100 miles outside of the city got no place to go, and that's why I kind of thought I'd start it and then see where it went.
Well,
but the VA, only thing they really want to do is just throw you on medication and send you down the road, and I don't want to do that. You know?
Right. So what you can do is go, you know, welcome to the show where I or we blank, so fill in that blank, so you can blank. You know, welcome to the ADH Think Tank, where we help veterans get aligned with society, or where we help welcome to the ADH Think Tank, where we help veterans get focused on realigning their lives for the future.
Right.
You know, it's that's start
that
there.
Good.
You know, but it's, yeah. It's here's what I am, here's what I do, so you can do this. That's a, you know, because in the end, it's so you can do this is really the important part, because everybody wants to benefit. So if you can explain, here's how my show is going to benefit you, people are going to tune in.
You know, and yeah, and I think, you know, when you were talking about Glenn Beck before, he's ADHD, but you got Richard Branson that is. These people have a lot of good ideas, and I figured if nothing else, if you got a couple people with ADHD, they can help the veterans who maybe don't have ADHD, but they can still help them. You know, and that's why when at last week I was, I called into the Blaze Network, which is part of Glenn Beck thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to put me in touch with some people maybe that can, we can hook up with and do this and that, you know. But that's why I tell you what, whether you like Glenn Beck or not, I mean, he's doing a whole bunch of good, and he's doing a whole bunch of good for podcasting. I think so, you know, because he has all them little shows there, and I think it's a good thing, you know.
Awesome.
Anyways.
Well, keep up the good work, Michael.
Yeah. I appreciate it, sir. And everybody, have a good Saturday.
Yeah. Take care, man. Yeah. All right. Ending in 4910. Thank you so much for holding. You're on with Dave. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave. It's Mike Bell. How you doing?
Buddy, how are you, my friend?
Awesome. I just wanted to weigh in a little bit on this Glenn Beck thing.
Okay.
I've heard that as well. And, you know, it's like, even if you disagree with something, I mean, Sarah Koenig's going to be there, okay? She's from NPR, basically.
Right.
And NPR tends to lean the other way.
Right.
You know, you didn't hear a bunch of people saying that they're not coming because she's going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just didn't make sense.
I was listening to, I think it was Elsie on She Podcast, and she said there are people in the She Podcast Facebook group that said, I was going to go, but I'm not anymore because he's going to be there. And I was just like, that is like, because I'm pretty sure, you know, last, you know, this is the second time a podcast movement. The first one was awesome. And, you know, I just, wow, you would, you know, lose out on the ability to connect with your listeners and network with people. And of course the sessions and just generally a good time in Dallas because there's somebody that you don't agree with in there. Like, I mean, there's a guy, his name is George Robb. He does a show called, the Geologic Podcast, and it's all about science. And basically, you know, call it what you want. They call it skepticism. He's an atheist. So in theory, you know, this guy and I completely disagree on certain elements. But on the other hand, the guy makes me laugh a lot. I learn a lot about really cool things in science. Like there's actually a fish that has warm blood, all sorts of fun stuff. Now, if I, you know, completely tune that guy out of my life because we don't agree on one thing, I miss out on all the other things that we do agree on. And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, the funny thing about Glenn Beck is you know, one of his best friends is Penn Jillette, a very famous atheist, you know, libertarian, totally different views on about everything. But they're really good friends. And, you know, so, you know, you just tune yourself out of, I mean, even Glenn Beck himself, even if you don't like him, if you don't like him that much, don't go to see his keynote. But if, you know, if you go see him, he's got a lot to talk about that has nothing to do with politics.
Right. Yeah, so it'll be, it's kind of, I thought that was really weird that, but again, I wish I was the kind of person that if somebody said Dave Jackson and people went, oh, you know, it just had that kind of reaction of, I love the guy and I've got his army, or B, I hate that guy. I was like, well, he's done a good job of, you know, splitting people right down the middle. Holy cow.
True.
So, I mean, think about it. There's him. I know Donald Trump is another guy like that. The people like, oh, you know, either like, oh, the guy's awesome. He's, you know, I love his hair, and other people are like, oh, he's such a weasel, you know, and Howard Stern's another one, and even Paris Hilton. Like, I hate Paris Hilton, but on the other hand, I will admit that she's a pretty good businesswoman, because last I saw, she doesn't really have a whole lot of talent, you know, so, but
she's one of those that's famous for
being famous. Exactly, and she's very good at being famous, so, you know, yeah. I don't get it myself, but, you know, that's there are those people, so... To me, I just thought it was a great example of somebody who is not, Howard Stern, Nick Suberling says in the chat room is another one. You know, my wife and I cannot utter the words Howard Stern in my house because I'm a huge fan and she thinks he's an absolute pig. And so early on in our relationship, we had to figure out that she's never going to make me agree with her that he's a pig, and I'm never going to get her to see how creative and what an innovator he was. And, you know, so we just don't. We don't talk about Howard Stern in the Jackson home.
Yeah, Howard Stern's probably the best interviewer I've ever heard.
Yeah.
He can get stuff out of people that nobody else can.
He was interviewing Barbara Walters the one day, and I thought, oh, this ought to be interesting. But he was like, I didn't realize, like, he got her talking about her daughter. And basically, Barbara Walters admitted on the radio that her daughter isn't really, like, she loves her daughter, obviously. But that those two don't always quite get along. That maybe, and she also then admitted that, you know what, being Barbara Walters' kid, not the easiest thing in the world to do. And I was like, wow, I've never heard, you know, it was just such a, you know, interesting way to just pull things out of people. And it's one of those things that when I listen to a Howard Stern interview, I'm half listening to the quality, you know, of the, like the actual answers, but I'm also like reverse engineering, like, okay, he was talking about this and now they're talking about that. And I try to figure out like, what he was thinking, you know, when he asked that question and things like that. So, very
interesting. He's definitely a genius. I'm not a fan, but he's definitely a genius.
Right. Hey, I had a question for you, Mr. Mike Dell. Of course, if you don't listen to Mike, what the heck, you know, podcasthelpdesk.com. What is FeedBurner still like the number one, like, problem causing issue for podcasters?
No, it's not anymore. At least not for us.
Okay.
When I say us, I mean, you know, Blueberry and support at Blueberry.
Okay.
It used to be. But the problem is there's still people out there teaching to use it, and we sometimes get those, you know, like, oh, you know, I've posted my episode and it's not on iTunes yet. And, well, okay, what's your feed? They give me the feed. It's a feed burner feed.
Yeah.
So I have to say, well, you know, we don't recommend feed burner, but go over there and refresh your feed and then wait 3 days for iTunes to refresh. And, you know, but it's not the number one thing yet, you know, these days. You know, really the number one thing that I'm having problems with is category podcasting.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. I know you said how it's not your favorite thing. People should be using channels.
The other question I get a lot is about new and noteworthy.
Oh,
I wish I knew where that was coming from. I do know a couple places where it might be coming from, but this, you know, rumor you got to have 10 episodes and you know, and all this stuff before you submit to iTunes it's like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you and I have been, you know, commenting on the same threads on Facebook and whatnot, you know, the people that are coming up with that. Again, I say, I just wish these people would not be teaching that because it's not true.
Yeah. I wish, I'll have to get the stats from Rob, but he did a thing on, you know, shows in and out of new and noteworthy and the fact that it doesn't make do you get more listens? Sure. But do you get the number of listens? Like, people think they're going to get like 5,000 downloads an episode because they're new and noteworthy. And that's just not true.
I think he said something like between 300 and 500, and they're not sustained.
Yeah. So
people drop off after that.
Yeah. So I always worry because I don't want to sound like too snarky in a Facebook group or things like that. But I'm like, if you take the time that you're spending obsessing, and I don't think obsessing is an understatement, over new and noteworthy, and instead went out in your community and found out what they're talking about, you know, that would be a much better use of your time than trying to figure out, you know, how to get in a note. Because he was like, how do you exactly? He wanted to know what was the formula. And I was like, oh, geez, Louise. So
make good content and get your listeners to subscribe to it.
Because,
I mean, the iTunes looks at subscriptions and they look at, what is it, the reviews, ratings.
Yep. So are you going to be at Podcast Movement, Mike?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
We haven't determined who's going and who's not, and I'm not going on my own. So.
Got it. Awesome. All right, my man. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks to all the veterans out there for your service.
Absolutely.
And have a good weekend.
Yep, take care. Ending in 9268, you're on with Dave. What's your name and what's your question?
Hello, Dave. It's Devorah Lansky.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I wonder about the new version of Audacity.
Okay.
I'm wondering what you think of it. I'm wondering if we install it. I'm wondering if we install it so that we can't use the previous version or if it's stable. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I'm actually behind on this. I haven't installed the new version. I heard what was new in it. Boy, you know what? I assume if you install it in a different folder, like if it says, hey, I want to install it in the Audacity folder on the, you know, C program, whatever. If you just like tack the number 2 at the end of that, you would have your Audacity in the original folder. And then you would have, you know, the new version in a new folder. I haven't heard, you know, we'll throw this one out to the chat window. I know when Daniel J. Lewis went through fairly deep and went into what was new and improved and, you know, from what I heard, I haven't heard any complaints. I guess that's the thing. It's one of those like where no news is good news kind of thing. Because usually the thing where podcasters are so connected with each other that if there was something really wrong, I know somebody was having an issue pulling video into Audacity and then stripping the audio. And you have to add a plugin for that. And so I saw in a Facebook group, somebody said, make sure you have the latest plugin now to go with the latest version of Audacity. But so far, I haven't heard a peep about it. So it's been fairly stable for, you know, years when, you know, back in 2005, 2006, it was a buggy mess. But I haven't really had anybody really, you know, for a while, it was just a standard procedure that somebody would say, yeah, I was doing something in Audacity, it crashed and I lost everything. And I don't hear that half as much as I used to. I mean, every program, I've lost things in Adobe Audition, you know, because every computer is different. It depends on what you're doing there and things like that. So, but no, I have not, I haven't heard anything about it yet. So at this point, I just got a new computer, so I'll be installing the latest version here later on today. And so I'll be able to comment on it. I'm assuming it's the same ugly interface. That's always my big thing. It's like the interface always looks like it's from like 1992.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, but you know, so I think it was Daniel that said he's going to be interviewing one of the guys, one of the like the founders of Audacity, and you know, what should we ask him? And I was going to say, when are you going to upgrade the user interface? It's, you know, on the other hand, you know, you can't get a whole lot easier than a big red button for record and a, you know, a square button for stop. You know, what else? How are you going to improve that, I guess? But it works. So.
Right. Well, thank you very much. I was just wondering. So I'll ask you again down the road or
yeah.
If you don't bring it up, because I know you'll be installing it on your new computer. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a good weekend.
You too.
Yep. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, now we're going to do something I normally don't do on the show, and that is we're going to do something visual. So I'm going to share my screen. I want to share this one. There we go. And so I got contacted by Hank Davis, and he says, I've been podcasting for the past 9 years. At the TPENetwork.com. I've been listening to Ask the Podcast Coach in the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. He's doing a service for podcast media sheets, for lack of a better phrase. Let's see how he for around media kits. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pop some of these up. And so you guys can see these. This is one for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan podcast. And apparently, you know, you can have a promo here and your stats. So it's just a one-page kind of article. Here's one featuring the sexy Nick Suberling, Inside the Jungle. Right? Same kind of format. Here's one for the TPE Network. There's Hank himself, a former professional athlete. Right now, he actually has, you know, he can put his numbers in. But he's got reviews here from... you know, iTunes, and I think that's the other ones. Yeah. So those are the four. And so I thought I would throw this out to the chat room. Cause what those were I just realized that's very visual, Dave, but it's got a you know, your title of your show. You've got, your album artwork. If you about, the podcast, host is there. So you've got a picture of you, and then you've got a short section on, you know, reviews from iTunes. Obviously, you're going to pull your best ones. And what do you guys think of that for those that were here listening live? Yeah, Nick didn't even know. I'm assuming he's going to go out to the 8 billion people that are now doing podcasts about podcasting. And because I asked him, I'm like, well, you know, at first he was like, do you want to be an affiliate? And I'm like, well, show me something. Because from my perspective, now, again, you got to step in my shoes. This is a guy that teaches Microsoft Word on a regular basis and Publisher and Excel. So I kind of look at that and go, I could make that in about 5 minutes. But if I'm a person that isn't super tech savvy and maybe just don't have time, you're like, hey, I'll hire this. So if anybody wants to throw in, that's a one sheet basically because it's one sheet, I guess. That's why it would be my guess. What would you guys pay for that? Would be my question on that. We'll see if we get any answers on here. I'm going to go back to my email. I know I'm not sharing my screen anymore to see if I can see. Yes. ChannelHank.com/kit is, okay. So he's looking for $25 for a one page, single color header, white background, about image embedded, a YouTube video embedded, and a customer supplies written content. So you basically write it. He formats it for $25. And I went, okay. Because on one hand, how could he write it? He doesn't know your stuff. But yeah, here's the website. ChannelHank.com/kit. Yeah, I've checked. I see in the chat room, Mike Phillips is saying, I may be having a problem with his podcatcher. It's called Media Monkey. Dave's podcast title for this show is Parking Website Easter Egg Hunts versus App, which is actually the name of a episode. I guess I could check my phone and see what it looks like in the podcast app. But I haven't been having any, as far as I know. I had an issue earlier in the week. Yeah, mine in the podcast app. Let me look at this real quick. Yeah, it still says ask the podcast host. Your podcast question is answered is what it shows, at least in the podcast app. It's always the fun part. We have a caller coming in. Ending in 3434. You're on with Dave. What's your name and what's your question?
What's happening, Dave Jackson? It's Nick Suberling.
You sexy beast, you.
That is a first. The word sexy and my name do not go together.
What's going on, my man?
Hey, I just I wanted to respond regarding the media kits.
Yes.
I think it would be a cool service if you're a new podcaster and you're experiencing some growth with your show and you don't have a media kit. Sure, I think this is a pretty good start. I'm fortunate that I live with a in-house graphic designer.
Nice.
So anytime I need some graphics or something put together, she's pretty good at, you know, a layout design as well. So I've already actually got my own media kit. I've had it, I guess, for about a year now. But again, if you're somebody who's not familiar with media kits and, you know, you don't maybe have the best design skills in the world, I'm sure the service would be more than adequate.
Yeah, $25 is not a huge. I'm glad it's not like 99 or something like that.
Right.
You know, it's like, right. Okay, for $20, it's like, all right. Addie says in the chat room that you can probably get those done at Fiverr for $5. I've seen great examples of media sheets on Fiverr. Well, there you go. There's another. Yeah. I think everything, you know, you can get your laundry done on Fiverr for $5.
But, I mean, you got to give them credit. There's not,
yeah,
you know, kudos to Hank for coming up with the service.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to offer something to podcasters that's something that's not, you know, not well publicized. I mean, I probably was almost 4 years into Inside the Jungle, Dave, before I had my first media kit. And, you know, I've heard you do school podcasting about media kits. I've seen some of the examples on your website. And even then, I was just like, it was all over my head, and I wasn't really sure what to do. So, like I said, I was fortunate that I said something to my wife about it. She said, just give me the stats for your show, and I'll put it together. Piece of cake.
Yeah. Do you have your media kit anywhere where we can see it?
I do. If you go to insidethejunglepodcast.com, there is a button right in the middle of the page. It says advertise with us. And that is that there's a PDF of the media kit. And I could post a link in the chat room as well.
That's actually what I was going to do. There you go. Advertise with us. There you go. A lovely PDF. I will throw this in the chat room. I will beat you to it.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, yeah. Just barely.
It's hard to do it with one hand.
There you go. Description. You got your show schedule and format. Who listens? So you got your breakdown of people. Awesome. Read, yeah, very easy. It's just, here's who we are. Here's what we do. Here's when we do it. Here's who's listening. Yada, yada, yada. So,
and then, yeah, we included some of the better iTunes reviews we've gotten as well, so that we can, you know, when we're, I don't know if I've actually sent this out to anybody yet, but it's good to put some, you know, some perspective as far as what the audience is thinking of your show and how much they enjoy it. So, that way the advertisers can see that there's some engagement.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool.
So, yeah, I just wanted to chime in and offer up my
opinion.
My thoughts. I mean, you got to give them credit. That's not the service that's out there. I hope it takes off for them.
Yeah, there's I know there's a guy, I think he's calling himself the show notes guy, that will do your show notes for a from what I understand, a slightly large amount of money, from what I've heard.
Yeah, I've seen that and thought, you know, good luck.
Yeah, if you can get it, by all means, have fun with that. But you know, I guess if you're a business and you're gonna, you know, write it off as a marketing expense, but I think for the average Joe Schmo podcaster, I don't think we have, you know, what I want to say it was like $500 a month, something a lot that I was like, wow, that's too rich for my blood.
How many posts were you getting in that 500? Do you remember? Was it like one a week?
It was, let me see if I can, I will Google the show notes guy. Let's see how good his marketing is doing here.
Yeah.
He's at shownotesguy.com. And rates, here we go. Kudos to him for having a easy to navigate. And he's using, okay, here we go. My transcription charge is on a permanent basis. Basic packet. Oh, here we go. I love people that don't give me. Oh, here we go. At the very bottom. All right. Show notes. Basically, 1,000 plus words, SEO friendly. $30 to $199. I don't get that. Maybe that's one a day.
Wow.
His packages. Here, let me put this in the show notes or in the chat room. I'm not quite sure I get how to order his stuff. Prices are based on 4 podcasts a month. So so I don't understand. Oh, I get it. For a 30-minute show, it's $199 a month. That's basically $50 a show to have it 1,000 words, keyword loaded, time stamped, a journalistic style transcription, a PDF format. It's accurate and professional. So, because I know if you get something transcribed, it's basically $1 a minute. So there's $30 right there. So what am I getting for the other $20? He's basically going through and converting it into a PDF and making it pretty. And so interesting. It's like, okay, that's another one where he's saving you time. But
right.
It's like, do you have an extra $200 a month? Depends on what you do.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave. How long do you take to write your show notes?
30 minutes. And the reason I know that is because I'm listening to my show at 2x speed as I'm writing my show notes. So I kind of know, because I already have my bullet points in front of me from when I did the show. So now that I'm listening to it back, I'm taking those bullet points and expanding on them and putting in timestamps. So if it's an hour-long show, it usually takes me 30 minutes because I'm listening at 2x speed. And then I usually run it through, if I remember, which obviously I don't, I'll try to run it through some sort of spell check, that whole nine yards, grab some images, and that whole nine yards. So probably around 45 minutes. So if I, you know, is that worth whatever I just said it was? $50.
Right.
It's $50 for an hour.
It takes me about 15 minutes to do mine. I edit the audio first, which, since I record Inside the Jungle live, there's not really a whole lot of editing involved. The only thing the reason it might take me a little bit longer is because I post my show on my SPNT website, and that's where the feed is distributed through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, etc. And then my show is actually part of another website called cincyjungle.com. So I'm taking the content, I'm just double posting it on another website, which doesn't do it. Their platform doesn't handle podcasting very well. So it's basically just a blog post with an audio player in it. It doesn't go anywhere. That's probably what takes me the longest, just right, because I'm doing it twice.
Fun.
And so ahead of time, what I do is I don't listen to the audio. I don't go back and listen to it. I have an idea of what the three main segments were, and I copy and paste the previous week's show notes and replace it with the new notes and publish.
There you go. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. The other hard part too, since I work third shift, that's the first thing I'm doing when I come home from work. So.
Oh.
I'm exhausted.
Maybe not the best.
I find myself falling asleep. Yeah. As I'm typing some of the show notes, and I'll kind of wake up in my chair and go, what just happened? Yeah. Oh, I just lost 30 minutes. So if you count the sleeping, So it does take me about 45.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunately, it's something we do at the end. I think most of us do. And at that point, you kind of think, well, it's done. The audio is done. I just want it out. And I think that I know that's where I get lazy. I'm like, ah, good enough. Publish. You know, that's so. I'll tweak it later. I realized when I was listening this week, I usually try to put a couple days between when I put out a show and a couple days when I actually listen to it back. Because in theory, I've already heard it. And I heard myself say, I'll take a picture of my license plate and put it in the show notes. I'm like, yep, never did that. Okay. Need to go back and fix that. So
you always catch those things. I enjoyed your school of podcasting this week. I had to, I don't know if you saw my clamor.
Yes, I did. I didn't even realize that.
Work in tears laughing at your comment about Patreon. I was not expecting
Well, you
had me rolling at work.
Yes. The password is circle jerk. Yeah, I don't think of that.
You would have made Howard Stern proud.
Yeah. Because basically a lot of people on Patreon, like I was talking about Jason Bryant, who's actually listening live from Chicago. Jason will give me whatever, $5, and I'll give two of that to Ray, and I'll give another $5 to Brian. We're all just paying each other. I'm like, we kind of need another audience to come support ourselves, but it is kind of nice. And, because technically circle jerk refers to a bunch of males standing around masturbating together. And I didn't even think about that at the time. I just was like, I always kind of just, to me, I translate that to waste of time or, you know, just so, yeah. When you played that back, I'm like, oh, did I once one time, when I was a pastor in training, said the word crap in a sermon. And because I just talk the way I talk. And they came up afterwards and said, you do realize you said crap. And I'm like, I said crap? They're like, yeah, you said something like or blah, 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 and a bunch of crap. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I could have phrased that differently. Oops. But I didn't cut it out. I was going to go back. And I'm like, ah, you know what? Nick's the only guy that caught it. And, hey, now 100 people have heard it on Clamor. So. You can. Probably. That's all right. No, that's good. Hey, if you don't want it, don't say it, right? Exactly.
Hey, you know what? It was entertaining. It made me laugh.
There you go.
I'm in tears now laughing, so thank you.
Yeah, so you can add that to your, you can add that to, it's the word of the day. Try to work that into your your vocabulary today. So.
And now it's on Ask the Podcast.
Right, now it's on Ask the Podcast. It just won't die. So. It'll be my new Amish porn joke. So, all right, my man.
Well, you have a great Memorial Day weekend, Dave.
You too, my man.
Show today.
Yep. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Awesome. One of my favorite people, man. And speaking of favorite people, I'm behind schedule on this. I got to have lunch with Ryan Parker Wednesday night. I was in Michigan doing some training up there, and I promised, it was really cool because here he is. One of the, people that took my podcasting in 6 weeks course that I used to do, said, hey, I've got a ticket to the Chicago thing. And, I'm not going to be able to go. Do you know somebody that could take it? And I'm like, we can try that. So Guy, I threw it out at the School of Podcasting private Facebook group. I go, anybody going to go to Chicago this weekend? I got a free ticket. And Ryan Parker said, I'll go. I'll drive. So special thanks to Guy DiMartino. You can find Guy at MichiganCityInjuryLaw.com. And he does a podcast about, as you might imagine, personal injury. So if you've been injured, yeah, that's but Guy's a really, like, don't think of him as like, oh, he's one of the, no, Guy's a good guy. And a really nice guy and very knowledgeable. It's a great example of using your podcast to kind of spotlight yourself as an expert. And so rather than just doing a show about law, it's about personal injury, which is where he's an expert. And I need to give him a chat. I talked to him a little bit in email and, just to see how things are going with us. But he's still doing it, so that's the good news. But thanks to Guy DiMartino. And for giving away a free ticket, that's was very nice of him. He didn't have to. He could have just said, well, I guess I'm not going. But he was like, hey, Dave, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find somebody who's doing that. Jeff Bundy says, what about full transcription of the content? Like on lynda.com, search through the audio video content via full complete transcription, search by word phrase. I like Rev. I've heard, I forget what Elsie was talking about on the feed. I think it's rev.com. I know Pat Flynn uses these guys because they have an app. You can just talk stuff into your phone and they'll transcribe it. It's $1 a minute. It gets a little costly. I've used these guys. They do really, like, insanely fast work. You know, but because that's how I basically, the last little book I did, the one about, it's not because of my, like, reasons, what the hell, that's hilarious. I can't remember my own title, my own book. Why People Listen to Podcasts, something of that nature. I'm drawing a blank. I can see the title. See here. My favorite podcast is, you think one would remember the title of their own book? I basically took that, and this is where people had emailed me in at the end of the year. You know, my favorite podcast is this, and here's why I listen to them. And I took those recordings and got them transcribed, beat it into shape to a certain extent, put a disclaimer at the beginning of the book that said, this is transcribed from email messages, which is my polite, lazy way of saying, I don't really want to edit this completely. And then I think it's a whopping 99 cents on, yes, it's 99 cents on Kindle. My favorite podcast is, so. So I used Rev for that. I know on She Podcast, they were talking about some sort of computer system, kind of like the way Google tries to transcribe your voicemails. And I'm like, if it's kind of like Google, I'll you know, I've used Dragon Naturally Speaking, and that's searchable via the transcript to the audio video. No, that's just a transcript. Now, I don't know of any system that does like YouTube where it's at the 5 minute mark, you know, if I click here, it'll take me to that part. No, I have not to do that. And I also know Todd and Rob were talking on the New Media Show, that people are taking full transcriptions and putting them in their post. And that then goes into your RSS feed. So your RSS feed is huge. And so consequently, you have to be careful, because if your RSS feed gets really, 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 really big, and I wish I could give you more stats on exactly how big is really big, it takes too long to index it. And some places would be like, whatever, and they quit going back to it, or it doesn't work. The other thing I thought we could just to say, hey, this is here. It's a website called EnhanceCast, and people were asking, what do I think about this? And I'm like, well, if it works, what it is, it's a in theory a network of people. A network of shows that are going to try to do podcast advertising. So it's a little bit like Blueberry, where it's intended for the you know, smaller shows. Because Rob Walsh from Libsyn has said you can typically the minimum that actual sponsors want is a minimum of 5,000 downloads per episode, not per month. And the interesting thing is I went over and looked at EnhanceCast, and they said the geeky phrase here is CPM. It stands for cost per thousand downloads. And they said it ranges from $18 to $25. And so I went, well, if we take the average podcaster who gets 200 downloads, that's 800 downloads a month. Well, if you take $18 and divide it by 1,000, that's 0.18 cents per download, which means if you get 800 of those, you end up making $14.40 for the month. And now, on one hand, depending on who you're getting your hosting through, that might pay for a majority of your hosting. I just don't know that CPM is something. If you've got enough listeners, if you've got 5,000 downloads, by all means. But if you don't, I'm not sure going this route where people are giving rates for really big, big show rates. They don't work on a smaller scale, in my opinion. I don't know that I want to bug my audience for, you know, 60 seconds to make $14. I'd rather have them a more a better user experience maybe. And for me, I did a experiment a while back. I do a podcast called the Logical Weight Loss Podcast. I'm actually down a pound and a half this week. Thank you very much. And I talk about Fitbits. Why? Because I love my Fitbit. It entices me to walk. I can see, I compare how many steps I've got to Mike Dell because he's a friend of mine and I can see how he's doing. So it encourages me to do that. And I just tell people, if you go to logicalloss.com/Fitbit, and every time you buy one, I'm not sure if they've changed the commission, but for a while I got $9 a sale. And if you get enough people doing that, that adds up. And I did, and I looked at how many downloads I had and how much commission I made. And I was making $50 CPM with an affiliate program. Why? Because I had the right audience, which was people that don't want to spend a ton of money on gear. And, you know, they had something I could talk about personally that I liked. I didn't have to say, I love the Fitbit because it is so, you know, no, this is something I wanted to promote. And, yeah. And that's the other fun thing is they're easy to lose. Yes. I have lost one as well. And so, yes, the love of the Fitbit is chiming into the chat room here. But anyway, that was an example where the right product for the right audience, cha-ching, you know, that added up. Now, as my audience has now bought all the Fitbits they're going to buy are pretty much been bought, I don't get that kind of downloads again. And I'm looking for something else that maybe I can promote on that show that I know there's NatureBox is a thing that's getting a lot of play in the health. And so, again, for me to promote that, I'm going to order it and you know, sample a NatureBox and go, hey, this is pretty cool. It's healthy snacks. But if I get it and I don't like it, I'm not going to promote it. But that's another way. It's an alternative to CPM. But that is something that I see. And again, kind of like the media kit people. I'm like, hey, if you can make it work, you know, they've got Tim Ferriss and Startup. And I'm like, I don't know that. And this is one of the things that I kind of scratch my head on. You know, they've got Entrepreneur on Fire, Pat Flynn on the front page. I don't know that these people are using this service. And that always bugs me. To me, it seems like somewhat false advertising. I did see a thing in a Facebook post that Trevor Smithlin said, I'm the founder of EnhancedCast, and we have some exciting things in the works for podcasters. We're creating a brand new podcast advertising system that will allow any podcaster to start monetizing from their podcast. We plan on launching in July or June of this year, meaning 2015, for beta release. You can sign up on our site in the podcaster section for early access. And again, that's enhancedcast.com. Also, our website is updated almost daily with new content, but we haven't released a new iPhone app for some time as we shifted to our web player. We'll be launching a brand new iPhone app later this year with streaming capabilities. Hope to see some of you join us. So that was kind of... it's interesting, again, that, you know, we'll see how it works. The Charge HR. Oh, we're still talking Fitbits in the chat room. That's hilarious. The other thing I wanted to test here as we start to round up, I'm going to play you guys a clip of a new show that I'm working on that is very similar to the School of Podcasting. I'll explain why. I'm still thinking about it at this point, but I want to get your input on my intro. And as soon as I can find it.
Welcome to How to Podcast, where we talk about how to podcast. This show helps you tackle one podcasting topic at a time. Here is your host, Dave Jackson.
My question is, do you guys get the sarcastic clearing of the throat? Because the show is called How to Podcast, where we talk about how to podcast. And I wasn't sure if that came across, that we're stating the obvious. So, but what that's going to be like, Dave, why would you start another podcast about podcasting? Because it's going to have one topic. And for the most part, if you're a regular listener to the School of Podcasting, really don't need to listen to it because you've heard it all before. But what it is, what it's going to be for me is like I'll have an episode on music. So if somebody says, hey, if you play 8 seconds of the thing, yeah, and Yeah, I'm having a I fell off the wagon today. Nick is pointing out that I just drank a Mountain Dew on camera. For me, it's going to be, oh, if you have a question about microphones, go over to howtopodcast.com/microphones and listen to that episode. It's going to be my way of helping people. Yeah, this is the first one I've had in a long time. I keep falling on and off the wagon with that. But, okay, good. So Michael says he got the sarcasm there. Because it's hard to tell a voiceover guy to be sarcastic. And I didn't want it to be me. To me, I kind of like it when the intro isn't me. But I thought about doing that. I thought about doing the Dave Ramsey, where I could just play the cool music and just, welcome to How to Podcast, where we talk about how to podcast. I might actually put me in there that's with me going, wait for it. Wait, okay, How to Podcast. So, all right, that's cool. And then the other thing I'm going to do, just to show you, this does not exist, by the way, yet. The website exists, but there's nothing on it. Is the ending will be like this.
Thanks for listening to How to Podcast, brought to you by the School of Podcasting. For more information about starting a podcast, visit howtopodcast.com/start.
So, that's my call to action. I have a built-in call to action. And what that allowed me to do is that slash start will be a pretty link, which I can then go in and see how many people are actually clicking on that, which then will help me determine, do I want to keep doing this podcast? And there'll also be probably a coupon code involved somewhere, things like that. But that is the nice thing about that podcast. It'll come out eventually later this year. I'm going to record like 57 episodes or however many. I have a whole list in Workflowy, and I'm just going to time release them and basically, you know, get them all done now that I have my intro and outro. That intro guy, by the way, Fiverr. I was going to go Music Radio Creative, and I guess because I've done them on everything else, I thought I should try a Fiverr dude. So I love Mike and Isabella. I feel like I've cheated on them now. Like, oh, I used Fiverr. Forgive me, Mike and Isabella. But because every time I hear a Music Radio Creative jingle, I can tell it's them. I mean, they do really, really good work. So for me, it's just, I've always wondered if my show is too long. And the bad news is I always ask that question at the end of my show. Well, I should ask that show at the beginning of the show for the people that, you know, make it about 8 minutes in and go, oh, I'm bailing. That's right. I'm going to have 10 shows ready to go into New and Noteworthy. Actually, I'm getting ready to release the Clamorcast, and I did do the old 3 episodes. I'm going to test the formula. So, yeah, exactly. So, awesome. Well, I'm going to go ahead and roll the jingle music. Wow, we've been going over. I actually started on time today. That was insane. That doesn't happen very often. But we are here every Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And I want to thank me for being on the show today. Is that how that works when you don't have a co-host? That sounds a little weird. It was interesting, though, knowing I wasn't going to have a co-host, how much insane show prep I did today that I'm like, I should do that every week instead of just relying on the co-host to, you know, do the heavy lifting. I had things here. One person asked about how do you promote your podcast. I actually had somebody ask about a question about should I be in iTunes? And I really was like, really? Yeah, because he got booted out of iTunes. For the record, don't put swear words in your titles. Like, even if you do like SH apostrophe T, no. There's an iTunes bot. Words. They boot you out. No questions asked. No gray area. Gandhi. So don't be naughty in your titles. Or even your show title. That's my favorite. When it's like, you know, Dave and Nick talking, you know, it's like, no, that's not going to work in your show title. But people try it because, you know, I'm going to be the next Howard Stern. Yeah. So, you know, I should. Nick is saying I should have a co-host on that. That would require time and effort. But yeah, it's a thought. I like that idea. It is slowly taking more and more time. And that was the direct reason why I said I would do it, because it was going to take this much time to do. And I'm like, that could be a problem. That's interesting. If you get a Slack while you're doing your show, it lowers the music for you. Nicely done. So As always, thank you to the chat room for being my co-host today. Thanks to everybody who called in. We will be here next week. Jim will be back, as far as I know, next week. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again next week.